Today's daf is Ksuvus daf Mem Gimel. We are holding on daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, about 7-8 lines before the end of the page. At Eisivei, we're in the middle of the machlokas, or the discussion between Abaye and Rabba, where Abaye keeps on challenging Rabba. So first we're going to finish off that discussion, and we're going to get down to the nekudas hamachlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon when it comes to making claims about an onus or a mefata. At what point it's considered mamon, at what point it's considered to be knas, and then the Gemara is going to move on to a discussion about a daughter's maisi adayim when the father dies, meaning where did the maisi adayim go? Since the brothers are supporting her, do they get her maisi adayim? Do they get whatever she produces? Or do we assume that the brothers don't have that right? That's only a right for the father, not for the brothers. The Gemara is going to bring three rayas through Amud Aleph, and then in the Mishnah on Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to talk about the ksuba of a naru, who gets her ksuba, who collects her ksuba. Does her father collect her ksuba, or does she collect her ksuba? Derech Agav, we're going to mention the halacha of a katlanis, of a woman, because since the Mishnah gives examples of a girl who's married multiple times to illustrate the halacha of a ksuba, so we're going to, Derech Agav, mention the issue of a woman whose husbands keep on dying, and at what point we assume she's a katlanis and she cannot get remarried. And then the daf concludes with an explanation of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a ksuba from a first husband goes to the father, even if at the point of collection she's already outside, she's already yatsumi rishus avia, she's already beyond the rishus of her father. Nevertheless, the ksuba still goes to the father. The Gemara is going to have a couple of suggestions as to why that would be the case, that the ksuba from the first husband would go to the father. Let's begin from, again, 7-8 lines from the end of the page on daf Mem Beis Amud Beis. So again, Rabba had explained, just to bring us back into it, Rabba had explained within Shitas Rabbi Shimon, the whole discussion started with Shaila that the Gemara had asked on Mem Beis Amud Aleph, what would Rabbi Shimon hold in a case of Abaye asked Rabba, someone says to L'Chavero that you were Ma'anes or Mefata's Biti, and we already had a Hamad Abedin, and you were Chayavli Mamon, so it had already turned into a Mamon payment, and the man denies it, and then it turns out that he was lying, so he swore to the denial, and then he lied, he was lying. So what do we say about the Karban Shvua in that case, according to Rabbi Shimon? Do we assume that since there was Hamad Abedin, it was Mamon and Chayav Karban Shvua, or do we assume that even though there was already Amad Abedin, it still has the status of a Knas? So Rabba responded that once there's Amad Abedin, it's already, Rabba responded, it's considered to be Mamon. It's Mamon Avi Mechaivale Karban Shvua. And then through the discussion yesterday, we learned that Rabba's Mechalik between the Knas of Onas and Mefata and other Knassos. So Abaye is asking on Rabba, that, who explained that within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, that a Karban Shvua is different from all other Dinei Torah, and even though Knas, Lachar, Amad Abedin, does have a status of Mamon with regard to the fact that you can't be Pater through Hoda'a, meaning Moda B'Knas is not going to be Pater after you already had Amad Abedin, but still you're not going to be Chayav Karban Shvua for being Kofer, a Knas, after Amad Abedin, because Be'ikaro, it's a Knas. At its root, it's still originally a knas. So he asks on him from Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah in Misach HaShavuos that we quoted earlier, and based on that, the Gemara explained that the root of the machlokes Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan is when the guy who's ma'anes denies the claim of the father to pay the chiyuvim of the Torah and he swears falsely, whether he's chayav a karban shvuah. So Eisvei Abaye asks on Rabba. We learned in this Mishnah Misach HaShavuos Rabbi Shimon poter, that Rabbi Shimon paters from bringing a Karban Shvua, someone who denies the claim of the father about the ones, and he swears to that denial, and then ultimately he's Moda Shenim Shalem Knas Al Piatzmo. And the reason that Rabbi Shimon says pater is because of Moda B'Knas is pater from paying, and he's not Chayiv to pay unless there are Edim that come and testify that he's Chayiv to pay. So the guy that was Kofer, the claim of the father, didn't exempt himself, because even if he would have been Moda, he would have been Pater. So it's not a Kfiras Mamon. You only Chayiv a Karban Shvua when there was a Kfiras Mamon, but there was no Chayiv Mamon. He could have been Moda and become Pater. So it seems from Rabbi Shimon that it makes the whole din dependent on Karban Shvua, the whole din of Karban Shvua depend on Hoda'a al Knas, on whether he could have been Moda and be Pater. So the whole reason he's Pater from the Karban Shvua is because he could have been Moda and become Pater, because he could have been a Moda B'Knas that's Pater. Time at the Lamed B'din sounds like the whole reason is because they didn't yet have a Moda B'din, so he still had that ability to be Moda and be Pater. But Ha'amad B'din, the Mishalim, but if they already had a Moda B'din, the Mishalim al Piatzmo, where a guy would pay a Knas al Piatzmo, where we wouldn't any longer say that Moda B'Knas is Pater, Karban Shvua Nami M'chayiv, then he should be Chayiv a Karban Shvua as well for his Kfira, because then you wouldn't have the whole Svara of Rabbi Shimon. The whole Svara of Rabbi Shimon that he's Pater from the Karban Shvua is because we would still apply Moda B'Knas Pater, but once you already have a Moda B'Din, you can no longer apply Moda B'Knas Pater. Memela, there should no longer be a Karban Shvua. So Rabbi answers Rabbi Shimon l'divreim d'Rabban Karmel. Rabbi Shimon is not trying to explain himself when he says, because after all, Yireinu Mishalim Knas al Piatzma, because after all, you're Moda B'Knas Pater. He's not trying to explain his own Shita and to say that the reason you're Pater from the Karban Shvua is because Moda B'Knas Pater. No. L'divreim d'Rabban Karmel. He was saying within the logic of the Rabbanon, he was saying, L'di, according to me, says Rabbi Shimon, Afagav Damad B'Din, I think even if you already had a Moda B'Din, and it's Mamun L'chal Davar, nevertheless, Rachmana Patre, the Torah still explicitly patters us from bringing a Karban Shvua, mi v'kichesh, because it says v'kichesh, and the Torah specifically outlines which types of money you're chayav a Karban Shvua for, and they're all things that are ikaro kenas, that are fundamentally kenas, even if they later turn into mamon payments, they start out as they're all things that are fundamentally mamon, and not things that are fundamentally kenas, that have later turned into mamon payments. El didchu, but you the Rabbanan, that disagree with me, and you hold that there's a chi of Karban Shvua on being kofar the tviya of onus umafata, at least oduli mias hecha delamed bedin, at least be moda that if they have not yet been omed bedin, the chi katava knasa katava, that all the guys being toveya is a knas, it's something that if the guy would be moda, he'd be pater, and therefore you should say that there's no chi of Karban Shvua over there at all, because the moda be knas, pater, the guy could have been moda, and he could have gotten rid of the entire chi of the chi of entirely. V'rabbanan savri, the Rabbanan say no. Ki katava bosh subgam katava. That when the father is toveya, the money, what he's being toveya is not the knas. He's really interested in the bosh subgam, not the knas at all. So when the man denies that he was ma'anis the girl, it's a kfiras mamon, and that's why he's chayav a karban shvua. But in a chinami, if he would explicitly say that I'm being toveya the knas, and the man would deny that, and he would swear to that denial, and then later be moda, then in a chinami you would not be chayav a karban shvua, because that would not be a kfiras mamon, since moda b'knas is pater. So it turns out that the machlokas, Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon over here, is what exactly the tevia of anastu upitita esbiti is. What's the man claiming? Is he interested in the knas, and therefore you pater from a karban shvua, or is he interested in the bosh subgam, which is mamon, and therefore you're chayav in the karban shvua? So says Mar b'may kamiflegi, what is the nekuda samachlokas? Meaning, l'chora, he should be claiming both. Why would one say that he's claiming only the knas, that he's claiming only the bosh subgam? Some Rav Papa explains, well, the Rishonim add in a detail over here, and they say he doesn't want to claim everything because he's afraid that then it's going to encourage the guy to be kofar akol. If he claims too much, it's going to be too much pressure on the person. So he wants to more narrowly target his claim. So why would one narrowly target the claim to knas, or why would one narrowly target the claim to bosh subgam? So I'm Rav Papa, Rabbi Shimon Savar, lo shavik inish midi dikitz v'tava midi dilokitz. When a person is coming to claim two things, and one of them has a set amount, he's not going to leave that set amount and be toveya something that's an unknown. So the bosh subgam is not a set amount, it's an unknown. The knas is something that's a set amount, so he's going to go with what he knows. He's going to go with what he definitely knows he can get. Rabbanan savri, and the Rabbanan hold, lo shavik inish midi dikim modi be'lo miftar, v'tav midi dikim modi be'miftar. If you have a chance to claim one of two things, one of the things, if the guy says, you're right, I owe it to you, he'd be pater, and the other one, where if he says, I owe it to you, he'd still be chayiv, you're certainly going to want to go for the thing where even if the guy would be moda, he would still be chayiv, you have a better chance of collecting. But both of them, again, as I mentioned, hold, that you're not claiming everything. And the reason you're not claiming everything is because you don't want to be machber al chaver, you're afraid that's going to encourage him to the Ritva writes this way in the Ramban, you're afraid it's going to encourage him to be kofar hakol, and then you're going to end up just having more of a hassle than you had before. So it turns out at the end of the sugya that machlokas chacham and Rabbi Shimon is on three issues. That number one, knas avonus mufata, when is it considered to be the mamon of the toveah? According to the chachamim, it's b'shas hamad b'din, like every other knas, that because that's when he loses the ability to be mod b'knas and be pater. And according to Rabbi Shimon, that it's only mishas gevia, it's only at the time that it's actually collected. Second thing, a karmen shvua on denying a chiyuv of avonus mufata. According to the chachamim, you're chayav a karmen shvua because the tevia is on the mamon, it's on the boshes of begam, and according to Rabbi Shimon, you're part from a karmen shvua because the tviya is on the kanas. And third thing, karmen shvua is something that's ikaro kanas, something that now there's already amad b'din, so it's turned into mamon, but it's ikaro kanas. According to the chachamim, since you became chayv in that kanas and based in, it is now turned into mamon, and therefore when you deny that obligation, you're chayv a karmen shvua for that. According to Rabbi Shimon, since it's ikaro kanas, it's not one of the examples in the pasuk for which there is a karmen shvua. You're only chayv a karmen shvua for those things that there are examples in the pasuk that are all ikaro mamon. None of them are ikaro kenas. Now the chachamim clearly hold over here that if you kofar boches begam, it's considered to be kofar b'mamon. So we pointed this out the other day, just to make mention again. The Ritva raises the question that the Gemara in Shavuos Lamed Chesam and Beis, the Ritva's in Shavuos, the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Chav Zayin, sounds like when Rav Chista collected boches in Bavel, when Rav Chista enforced the collection of boches in Bavel, they sent him a letter, Ein govin knas b'Bavel. You shouldn't be collecting boches in Bavel because boches is a knas. Sounds from that Gemara that boches is a knas. Sounds from our Gemara that boches is mamon. So which is it? So says the Ritva, the reason they told Rav Chisa not to collect boches is not because it's really a knas. No, it's definitely mamon, but it's similar to a knas in that the payment is made even if it didn't cost any money to the victim. Meaning boches is not something that costs the person money, it's just something that's uncomfortable that a person suffers when a person suffers embarrassment. So on that level, it's like a kenas. So since it's like a kenas, they were saying you shouldn't be gova b'bavel. But in terms of modu b'kenas pater, no, it doesn't have a din of a kenas. It certainly has a din of mamon with regard to modu b'kenas pater. Okay, that's the conclusion of the discussion from yesterday. So now says the Gemara about six lines into the page. Rabbi Avina asked the following shayla of Rav Sheshas. Bas hanizonas mina achin, maisi adelami. If a girl gets support from her brothers, because that's part of the, as Rashi points out, that's part of the chiv in the ksuba, shekachu tanai ksuba, bepirkin, benin nukvin di yahavin lichi minoyi, inun yuhun yasvin, bebesi, umitzin, and minichsai, aditilokhin luguvrin, that a man commits to his wife, any female children that we have together are going to have the right to stay in our house and be supported by their brothers until they get married. So they have to be supported by their brothers. What about her maisi adayin? So since she's supported by her brothers, do we assume that the brothers are now taking the place of the father, and therefore should we assume that just like when the father's alive, the maisi adayim go to the father in exchange for the mizonos, so we hear also the maisi adayim should go to the brothers? Maybe it's different than the father. By the father, she's actually getting supported by him, by his own money. Over here, she's not getting supported by the brother's money. She's getting supported by the father's money. So the brother shouldn't be entitled to her maisi adayim. So that's the shaila. Who gets her maisi adayim when the father dies and she's still being supported by the brothers? Now, if you look at Tosos clarifies the nature of the shaila. Is this a shaila on a daraisa level or on a darabanan level? So Tosos says, midaraisa pshitale davila atzma. It's clear that on a daraisa level, she would get her own maisi adayim. We're going to have a drasha later on at the end of the amud that's going to make that clear. Elamidarabanan ba'i, miditali taimam. b'mezonos. We're asking, midrabbanon, should we be misakein that the brothers get the Maisi Yadayim, since after all, we associate Maisi Yadayim with mezonos, and they are supplying her with mezonos. The attempted answers and proofs that we try to bring are all mashma that the whole thing is midrabanan. Later the Gemara is going to quote that it's machlok is Rav and Rav Sheshes, and we're going to ask, what's the reason for Rav? We could have asked, what's the reason for Rav Sheshes? To midoraisa moda tavala atzma. I mean, what the Gemara is really asking when it says my time to Rav later is, the Gemara is going to ask, why would she get to keep it herself? The truth is, that's a kasha no matter what you hold about the answer to this shayla. Why does she get to keep it herself? Because the halacha is midoraisa, everyone agrees she gets to keep it herself. The reason the Gemara is going to question specifically Rav is because Rav is the one that said explicitly that even on a Drabbanon level, she gets to keep her Maisi Yadayim. But here's the problem, says Tosfos. So, the Rashba is a little bit troubled over here. Our Gemara sounds like the fact that the brothers have no choice but to feed her, and they are using the father's money to feed her, is more of a reason that she should be able to keep her own Maisi Yadayim. By the father, he's choosing to feed her. So that's she has to give up the Maisi Yadayim. But by the brothers, where it's Bal Karcham, so that's why more of a reason that she should get to keep the Maisi Yadayim. But tonight, based in Masha Haisin Nizonos Midaitim, more so than if they were just supporting her from their own free will. Ul Kaman Bereish Almana. But later on in the Masechta, we're going to say Gabe Almana. When it comes to an Almana, Mashma Ipcha, the Svar is going to sound the opposite. The other Rav Akiva Shin The Gemara is going to assume that the more the people who are supporting her are being forced to support her, the more it makes sense that she should have to give up her Maisi Yadayim to them. So that's what the Rashba was a little perplexed by. Which way the Svara should work? When someone is being forced to support, is that more of a reason to give them the Maisi Yadayim, or more of a reason to withhold the Maisi Yadayim from them? So let's see. So says the Gemara, so what's the answer? Does the girl get to keep her Maisi Yadayim, or does she have to give it up to her brothers? Amalei Tumisua. Amar Nizonos Mechseisom Maisi Yadayim Shalahan. And Almana gets supported from Yisomim, and they get the Maisi Yadayim. So me dummy. So says Gemara, now you can't compare those two cases. Almanas lo nichle barvacha, bito nichle barvacha. A man doesn't care that his Almana should have a lot of extra money. He just wants his Almana to be supported. So he's okay with the Maisi Yadayim going to his children. But his daughter, he wants his daughter to live barvacha. He wants his little girl to have everything she could ever want. So in addition to being supported, he would like for his daughter to keep her Maisi Yadayim. Really, does a man care more about the well-being of his daughter than he does about his almana? That we treat an almana when there's a daughter like a daughter by brothers when there's insufficient funds, just like the daughter when there's insufficient funds will get the mezonos, even if that means that the brothers are going to have to go begging for money and for food. So too, when there's an almana and a daughter, almana nizonas v'abastish halal psachim, the almana is going to get the mezonos, and the daughter will have to go begging for food. So bottom line is, you see from there that the almana is favored over the daughter. One of them is going to have to go begging for food, and we're going to say that it's the daughter. So how could we say that baharvacha, the man wants the daughter to have harvacha, but he doesn't care about the almana's harvacha? And it's gemara linyan zilusa almanas v'adifalei. It depends which type of issue. When it comes to begging at people's doors, that's a zilusa. That he doesn't want his almana to have to go through. He'd rather his daughter do that than his almana do that. But linyan harvacha, in terms of once you already have your basic support, who does he care should live more comfortably? Bito adifalei. That a man prefers that his daughter live more comfortably, more so than his almana. Tosov here raises the question as well. Also almana eitzal abas kebas eitzal achim fraktosos im tomar almana Yitzal Basa, my Karla Nechasim Watin. Why is it called Nechasim Watin when there's daughters and an almana? Meaning, I understand, Bishlam Megabe Basa Yitzal Achin, Mefarish Perk Misha Meis, Kadesh Yezonu Elu Ve Elu, Ad She Yibagru, Aval Hacha, Ein Shaykh Oso Shir, Shalmana Yeshul Yola Mezonos. I understand very well by the when there's sons and there are daughters, so I understand what Nechasim Watin means, because there is a set amount of money that's supposed to be set aside for the girl, however much it will take to support her until she becomes a bogeres, but that's it, so there's a set amount. So that's what you could say, Nechasim Watim is when you don't have that set amount. What's going to be called Nechasim Watim when there's an almana? The almana is supposed to be supported forever. It's not only until she becomes a bogeres, she's already a bogeres. Almana is going to be supported forever. So how can we even use the terminology of Nechasim Watim when it comes to an almana? So the Ramah in Siman Sadi Gimel in Nebuchadnezzar, Sivdal, quotes from the Ramban that when it comes to supporting an almana, Beis Din does an evaluation of how long we expect her to live, a life expectancy evaluation. They put aside that amount of money and they put it in the hands of a third party, and that third party then supports the almana for the rest of her life, instead of her having to constantly go back to the man's sons to get supported. So every month she'll get a payment from this third party. So the Gra and the Bira Gra points out that that Ramban is an answer to Tosfos Kasha. Tosfos says, I don't understand how you could ever call Nechasim Watin by an almana. What do you mean? It's infinite the amount of money she might be collecting, because she's going to collect forever and ever. But according to the Ramban, no. We make an evaluation, we put aside that money, and that's her money, and that's it. So Nechasim Watin means you don't have enough to cover that cost of the evaluation of how long we expect her to live and the money she's going to need for the rest of their life. So it would be a Nechasim Watin case. But Tosfos says differently. Tosfos writes, V'nir l'ri d'davka k'sheyesh almana u'banim u'bas tiknu l'almana v'nos l'mashay l'alikach l'bas. That it's only when there's an almana, sons, and a daughter, that's when the Masakin the almana will get what really the daughter should have gotten. V'hainu ad sheti bagar abas, meaning the daughter should have gotten certain support until she becomes a bogeres, but the almana will get instead. But when there's only an almana ubanim, or there's only an almana ubas, where the bas is the yoresh, lo asu takana bishvil almana, says Tosfos, a great chiddush, sounds like against the pashtus of the Gemara. If there's only an almana and a bas, the bas gets everything, there is no takana to support the almana. Because there was no way Chazal would have made a takana to undo the din Yerusha Daraisa to make a takana drabanan so that the almana will get supported. Yerusha is a din Daraisa. So if the daughter is the Yoresh, there's no way we're going to say, oh, sorry, we can't give you the Yerusha. We have to support the almana. We have to make a takana drabanan to support the almana. Says Tosfos, but wait, don't we do that when there's a son and a daughter? When the son and daughter, the din of Yerusha is that it should all go to the son. And we say, no, daughter can't go around begging. Sons, sorry, we're taking away the Yerusha Daraisa and giving it to the daughter. Says Tosfos, that's different. Because a bas is a Yoresh on the Daraisa level. Just not when there are brothers. But she's someone who could be a Yoresh on a Daraisa level. The Almana is not a Yoresh Bechlal. So since the Almana is not a Yoresh, we're not going to uproot the Dine Yerusha to make a Takana Drabanan, to give money to someone who's not even a Yoresh. But when there, we will make a Takana Drabanan to uproot Dine Yerusha to give money to someone who fundamentally is a Yoresh, even though in this case she happens to not be, it's not Magiela, a Yerusha. Okay, Masiv Rav Yosef, another attempted raya, Maisiyah de Mitziyasa, Alfli Shlo Govsa, Mesa Avare and Shalachin. So he said the Maisiyah died in the Mitziyah of a girl, even though it has not yet been collected. If the father dies, that gets yarshined over to his sons. Time in the B'chaya Av, it sounds like it's only because these things were earned while the father was alive. Hala Achar Mitzvah Av, but the Maisiyah Dayim that she earns after the father dies, Liatzma, that she gets to keep. My love binizonis, isn't this talking about a case where even though the brothers are supporting her, she still gets to keep the Maisi Adayim, so don't you see it's a raya? Says Mar Lo, Bishena Nizonas. No, it's talking about where she's not getting Mizonas. Well, I Bishena Nizonas, my Lameimra. If she's not getting Mizonas, then what's the chiddush? Of course she gets to keep her Maisi Adayim. Why wouldn't she be able to keep her Maisi Adayim? So I feel Mandir Miyachal Rav Lomar Le'Evet, Asei Mivai Nizoncha, because after all, even if you say that a master can say to his Evet, I want you to work for me and I'm not going to support you, Hani Mili Be'Evet Kanani, Kanani Dolsu Ve'amcha. Avlev Ivri Dichsu Ve'amcha. Lo, that's only an Eved Kanani, but you cannot treat an Eved Ivri in that way. Kol Shekein Bito. For sure, a man cannot treat his daughter that way. So if the girl is not getting mizonos, there should be no Shaila that she gets to keep her Maisi Adayim. So if the only time she gets to keep her Maisi Adayim is when there's no mizonos, what's the Chiddush? Amar Rabba Barula La Mitzvah El Hadafa. No, the Chiddush is not about the basic Maisi Adayim that she needs in order to support herself. It's about the Hadafa. If she makes extra, if she happens to have a good paying job. So that's what it's talking about. Amar Rabba Gavar Rabba Krav Yosef Lo Yad Zika Hadafa V'Komosif Tiyufta. He says, how could it be that Rav Yosef didn't realize that answer? That he's going to be most of a tiyufta. He doesn't realize that there's such a thing called the hadafa. Ella Amar Rava, rather Rava says, Rav Yosef masnisim gufa kashalei. Rav Yosef was bothered by the Mishnah itself. When we had Masav Rav Yosef, what the real Masav Rav Yosef was as follows. And this is, I guess, a third way to formulate a proof whether the girl gets her Maisi Adayim or not. That the Katani, it says in the Mishnah, Maisi Adayim Mitziyasa Afpli Shalagavsa, than any Maisi Adayim or Mitzia that she earned while the father was alive, now that the father is dead, even though she has not yet collected it, is going to go to the sons. Mitziyasa miman gavya. What do you mean collect a Mitzia? Who collects a Mitzia? Mitzia is not something that's collected. Elav hachikamer. No, what it means to say is Maisi Adayim kim Mitziyasa. We treat the Maisi Adayim like a Mitzia. Ma Mitziyasa b'chaya av la'av lach misa av la'atma. Just like a Mitzia, while the father's alive, the father's entitled to the Mitzia. After the father died, she gets to keep the Mitziah. Af Maisi Adayim b'chay av la'av lach misa'av la'atzma. So we're saying that Maisi Adayim is the same. Once the father dies, the girl gets to keep her own Maisi Adayim. So that's Shema Minah. There you see that even though the brothers are supporting her, even though she's getting mizonos, she gets to keep her own Maisi Adayim. Itmar nami yom rabidom rav basa nizonos menachin Maisi Adayim la'atzma. We find that rabidom rav says the same thing, that Maisi Adayim la'atzma, she gets to keep her own Maisi Adayim. Amar Rav Kana Mai Taima, why does she get to keep her own Maisi Adayim? This is the Kasha Tosfos was referring to before, when we ask what the reason for Rav is. This Kasha could have been, what's the reason for anybody on a Doraisa level? Because on a Doraisa level, everyone holds she gets to keep the Maisi Adayim. But Rav holds, even Midrabanan, she gets to keep the Maisi Adayim. But anyway, what would be the reason on a Doraisa level that the girl gets to keep her Maisi Adayim? Because the Pasuk says, V'snachaltem osam levnechem acharechem. And we darshin, osam levnechem. There are things that you can yarshin levnechem acharechem, your fields and other things and your avadim, but you cannot yarshin your daughters to your sons. Magid shein adam morish zuchus bito levno. A person cannot be morish to his sons. He cannot bequeath to his sons the zuchus in his daughters. Though that doesn't go biyerusha over to the sons. If you look at Tosfos, Tosfos says, why do we even need a special drush over here? He says, Tema, amayis rechra lahachi, hahi gufa lo nafkalon, de maisi adel aviyah, elami la'ama, ma'ama maisi adel rabba, af pas maisi adel aviyah. Why does the father get the maisi adayim of the daughter? That we learn out from Amma, that just like in Amma, every other maisi adayim goes to the master, so the father gets the maisi adayim of the daughter. And the halacha by Nama is that it doesn't go be Yerusha. She doesn't work for the son and the daughter. So isn't that enough? If the whole reason the father gets the Maisi Adayim is only from the Amma, so you're going to have all the limitations of an Amma as well. And therefore that shouldn't go be Yerusha either. Why do I need this Nachaltam? I need a new Pasuk. Teach me such a drasha. So Tosus suggests, V'nir l'rashba, the Yitzrich haikra elim shum katana, the Akesha lo Yitzrich al l'nara, aval katana lo tzor. The idea that the reason a father gets Maisi Adayim of his daughter is because we compare a daughter to an Amma is only true of a Nara. A Katana, the reason the father gets Maisi Adayim is much more posh, because he has the right to sell her. So if he has the right to sell her, he has the right to her Maisi Adayim. So for the Katana, we need this Pasuk to tell me that even though that right of Maisi Adayim is something that's so fundamental to being a father, he does not have the right to pass it on, the ability to bequeath it to his children. Maske for Rabba, so as Rabba ve'emu bepitoi habas uknosos vechavalos hakosu medaber. How do you know when it says that you can't bequeath to the sons? It's talking about all the zechuyos that the father has, even the Maisi Adayim and the Mitzia. Maybe it's only talking about the pitoi habas, the knosos, the chavalos. Maybe that's what it's talking about. But Maisi Adayim, which is something that's very shchiach and comes up all the time and would be a serious loss of money, especially since the brothers are supporting her, maybe that does go to the brothers. The chen tan Rabbi Chanina bepitoi habas. And that's Rabbi Chanina taught, that the pasuk is all about pitoy bas knasos and chavalos. So frankly, wait, chavalos? Sarah de Gufaninu. The Chavalos go to the father? Shouldn't Chavalos go to her? Chavalos is her own Sarah, it's her own pain, it's her own anguish. Why does that go to the father? Amar Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, Shapatzu b'faneha. Now the case is where she was hit in the face. So if she's hit in the face, that's considered to be something that affects the father, because that makes her worth less money. So therefore that's considered to be something that affects the father. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rabbi Masam, Rav Armila, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rabbi Masam, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav. I'm sorry. Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Rav Varmila, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Rav. That's the whole difference between the two. Basa Nizonus Menachem Ma'aseh Adala Atzma. If a daughter is supported from the brothers, she gets her own Ma'aseh Adayim. Dichsiv Yisnachaltem Osam Levnechem Achreichem Osam Levnechem V'lo Benoseichem Levnechem Magid Sheinah Demarish Zuchus Bito Levno. The same drasha we just quoted, that a man cannot bequeath Zuchus and his daughters to his sons. Amrle Avimi Barpapi Shakud Amra. Avimi Barpapi said, Shakud used to say that din. Shakud Manu, who's Shakud? Shmuel. It's Shmuel. Because since this is a din in Dinim Amnis, Rashi points out, and Hilchsuk Shmuel Bedine, so we call him the Shaktan in Dinim Amnis. He's the one that was always very careful and worked very, very hard to make sure he got everything exactly correct in Dine Mamnas. So we're saying Shakut said it, Shmuel's one that said it. So frankly, Haravama. No, whether it was Rav Zera or Rabbi Zera, they were definitely saying it in the name of Rav. Rav is the one that says that the girl gets to keep her own Maisi Adayim. Sa'ema af Shakut Amra. No, what we mean to say is, not only did Rav say this, Shmuel also said this, so we know it's even more authoritative in Dine Mamnas. Amr Mar Bar Amemer L'Ravashi, Hachi Amri Nardai, Hilksa Kavasid Rav Sheshas. The Nardai said that the Allah is like Rav Sheshas, that said before from the, he tried to bring a raya from the Almana, that the Maisi Adayim should go to the brothers, just like by the Almana goes to the brothers, so too by the Bas it should go to the brothers. Ravashi Amr Hilksa Kavasid Rav. But Ravashi says, no, we pass him like Rav, V'Hilksa Kavasid to Rav. And in fact, we pass him like Rav. Now, what's the difference between Rav Zera and Rabbi Zera? We quote two different lashonos of who said this halacha, that you don't get to bequeath the Maisi Adayim of the daughter to the sons. So what the whole difference between the two versions was, one was said by Rabbi Zera and one by Rabbi Zera. So Rashi writes, who Rabbi Zera? Who Rav Zera? Same person. El Bavel, Makami de Salak, Lahar de Yisrael, Makami de Rabbi Yochanan, when he was in Bavel, before he went to Eretz Yisrael, to learn by Rabbi Yochanan, Vein Smich of Bavel, and there is no Smich in Bavel, Havu Karele, Rav Zera. Ubahashmaitz, Ekel Manyamar, Makami de Samchu Amra, Vikel Manyamar, Basar de Samchu Amra. So it's a question of which point in his life he said over this teaching. That's all. Did he say it before he got Smicha, or did he say it after he got Smicha? Tosos and Mesechus, Menachos, Tafmem, and Beis disagrees with Rashi, and he says Rabbi Zera and Rav Zera are not the same person. Stechem writes in the name of Sefer Taras Hamayim that when it says in Shas, whenever it says Reish Yud, and you don't know if it's referring to Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Yehuda, so he says you should always just call it Re, because you always want to get it right, meaning we're very makbid in being Omer Davar B'Shem Omro. Meaning Tosa says that this was said by either Rav Zera or Rabbi Zera, and they're not the same person, so the Gemara says both. We always want to say both, because we want to make sure being Omer Davar B'Shem Mamro is like a Safik Dar Reis L'Chumra. You always have to be Machmir to be Omer Davar B'Shem Mamro. Stechem says, why it's an Isra Dar Reis not to be Omer Davar B'Shem Mamro? Is that really Safik Dar Reis L'Chumra? It seems more that it's a requirement Midivrei Sofrim. It should be something that would be like a Din Midrabanan. I don't know why you would have to Dafka say both and Dafka be Machmir. But that's the discussion in the Poskim. You also see that Shakud Amr, this whole discussion, that Shakud is the one that said it. Oh, Af Shakud Amr, Shmuel also said it, not just Rav, that the Bnei Saska writes, that you see from here that when two people said the same thing, you don't have to quote both of them every time. You can quote one, you know, each one whenever you want to quote. That's what the Gemara says in Brachas. Darish Rav Yavira, Zimna Namr Le Mishmei Dravami, Zimna Namr Le Mishmei Dravasi. Why would he sometimes quote one, sometimes quote the other? Probably he was a Talmud of both. He heard the halacha from both of them, so he quoted sometimes one, sometimes the other, and that's apparently something that's perfectly permissible. You're allowed to do. You don't have to quote from everybody that you heard it from all the time. Now, we had also mentioned over here patza b'faneha, that the case where the father has rights to the chavalos of the daughter is where she was hit in the face. So Tosas asks, according to Rav and Reish Lakish, who disagree with Rabbi Yochanan and Baba Kama Daf Pei Zayin, and hold about Patsa Befneha, and they hold that it does not belong to the father. How are they going to explain the Brisa? All the Chavalos L'chora belong to her, meaning this is not agreed upon by everybody, that just because she gets hit in the face, it's automatically the father's business and not hers. That's a Machlokas Amarayim. So Tosa suggests that the Machlokas is by Chavalos during when she's in Nara, but that which is before she's in Nara, everyone would agree the father gets. The fact is that what he gets before the Nara, and that's what the Gemara is saying over here, and that's not subject to debate at all. Then it also suggests that the Machlokas Amorayim is by Pchas Kiddushin, but Pchas Mechira, everyone agrees is Shaykh to the father. I mean, whatever she might get less in terms of Kiddushin, that is her business. But in terms of Mecher, that's the father's business. So here we're talking about the value of the Pchas Mechira. And there are other Tirutzim in the Rishonim as well. The Ritva says in the name of the Ramban, and we're only talking according to Rabbi Yochanan over here, according to Rav and Reish Lakish, the father does not get the Chavalah. This Gemara is going, Alibet Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, new Mishnah now. Hama'aris is Pito, Vigirsha. Let's say a man gives over his daughter for Erisin, and then she gets divorced. Irsa gives her over again for Erisin, Vinisarmala. Now she becomes an Almana. Or, so Ksuba Soshala, the halach is the father still gets to collect the Ksuba. Hisia, the father gave her up for Nisuin, Vigirsha, and she got divorced. Hisia, he gave her up for Nisuin again, Vinis Armala, and this time she became an Almana, even though the second time it's not really giving her over for Nisuin, the Chassam Sofer points out. After the first Nisuin, she's already Yotze Mirushuso, so the second Nisuin, it should have been Nises, not Hisia. It's not really the father doing it. So Chassam Sofer says the Mishnah is coming to Rami's Tas, that even if the father gives an Adunya to the second husband, still he doesn't have any rights to the Ksuba. Ksuba Soshala. The ksuba is still going to go to her. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Harishon Shalav. Rabbi Yehuda says the first ksuba is going to go to the father. Why would the first ksuba go to the father? She already had nisuin by the time she collects. So if she already had nisuin, doesn't that mean she has left Rishus Avia and she should no longer have the rights to the ksuba? So we're gonna explain that in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, time of the Yisiv Girsha Yisiv in the Samula. Notice how it said the first case that a girl had. The second case, rather, that first she had nisun, then she got divorced, then she had another nisun, and she became an almana. Why not say both cases that the husband died? So avul nisarmula trezimni sulu chazil insuve. It specifically said it in that way because if the girl had become an almana twice, she would not be allowed to get remarried again. Vagavorche kasasim lantana karav damer betrezimni avichazaka. So it's teaching us a din agavorche that we hold that two times a woman becomes a katlanis, and that's why we avoid describing a case where the woman becomes a katlanis, because Rav holds that two times makes a chazaka. The Rush was asked in the Tshuva in Klal Nun Gimel Simchas. He was asked, why don't we ever assume that there's such a thing as an ish that kills people through his being? If you assume mazel garem, why don't you assume man has that same mazel? So he says, first of all, it definitely can't be because it never says it anywhere in all of Shas. So it can't be that there is such a thing for a man who loses many wives. He says it must be because a woman. What does it mean that the mazel is garem? It doesn't. No one's mazel is going to kill someone else. So he says no. What mazel garem means? Your mazel means that you have a person may have a mazel that they're going to be poor. So if a man has a mazel, he's going to be poor. Okay, it means he's not going to be able to make a living, and it's not going to affect anyone else. A woman has a mazel, she's going to be poor. Her whole support is from her husband. So if her mazel is that she's going to be poor, it just means that her husband's going to die. So that's she won't have anyone to support her. So that's what mazal agara means. So that's not shayich by a man, that's only shayich by a woman. So the Nadbuda says, maybe if you would say like that Rush, if you see a woman whose husband's died and she's raking it in and she's making a lot of money, so you see that it's not mazal agaram, and you should say maybe she shouldn't be a katlanis. Now she should be able to. Nadbuda says, I can't say it because that's too much of a chiddush, but that it sounds like you should be able to say that according to the Rush. Okay, Rav Yehuda Omer Harishona Shalav. So Rav Yehuda says that the first ksuba goes to the father. My time is Rav Yehuda. Why? Why does the father get the first ksuba? Rav Yosef Damri Tarvayu. Hol Mishas Erisin Zach Ben Av. Because at the time of Erisin, the father already earned the rights to the ksuba. Mas Rav Rav Yehuda Omer Harishona Shalav. Mod Rav Yehuda B'Ma'aris Esbituk Shiktana Ubagra V'Achar Kach says Shein Lavi Rishuspa, that Rabbi Yehuda's moda, that if a man gives over his daughter for Erisin when she's a katana and then she becomes a Bogaris and then has Nisuin, the father has no Rishus. Amai Hachanami Lemahol Mishas Erisin Zach Ben Av. Why don't we say the same Svara, that at the Shas Erisin he was already Zocha, so you should still collect the Ksub in that case as well? Eli Yitmar Hach Yitmar. So let's take two, try again to explain Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef Tami Travayu Hol Berushuso Nichtavin. It's because the Ksuba was written while she was still in the Rishus of the father. Umigva Me'imas Kavya. And when will it be collected from? Amravuna Mana Masayim Mina Erisin. The Mana Masayim of the Ksuba gets collected from the time of Erisin. V'Tosefes Mina Nisun. What does it mean? When does it get collected? It gets collected after she gets divorced or after the husband dies. No, it means when are the Nechasim Meshuba to the Ksuba? At what point do we assume that the properties that the man owned are Meshuba to the Ksuba? So the Ikr Ksuba is from the Erisin, and the Tosefes is from the Nisun. Ravasi Amar Echadze Ve'Echadze Min HaNisun. And Ravasi says both of them are from the time of the Nisun. Okay, the subsequent conversation is going to take us into the next daf, so we'll pick up from there tomorrow.